I had one of the my little joys taken away from me, you know.
Hang on, already, hang on. We're doing the podcast. You're on.
Okay, sorry.
Don't, let's not.
Well,
let's
already, not. We're in the COVID state. We're in Melbourne, and already I can't go. I can't go to the gym. I can't get waxed. Massage parlors are closed. The weekend's gone, Glenn. I can't fish. What can I do? What can we do in the COVID state? But every, I don't know if you get this. Every morning I used to get up and I used to put on this orange deodorant, right? And I used to smell it and it would give me a bit of a joy in the morning, a bit of a kick for the day. I loved it.
Yep. Yeah. Well, but then go on.
And it ran out because there's a bit of a history to it. My teenage son said, you've got to go, when you go to the organic fruit shop, can you get me the orange deodorant? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I got this orange scented deodorant. He's like, no, not orange smelling. It's an orange bottle. I'm like, oh. He goes, well, you're going to have to take that back. I went, no, I'm keeping the orange deodorant. Because once you take that lid off, it's like a bit of Fanta under your arms. It's incredible.
I see how it's come around to
yeah, food.
Food.
And so every morning I would put that deodorant on and have a bit of a sniff, and it just gave me a bit of a buzz. And now it's run out. And so my wife's like, just use the tea tree one. But the tea tree's, it's like being in prison or something, tea tree. It's like I've had a, have I got a cut or an abrasion? You know what I mean? It's no fun.
So, aerosol?
No, roll-on. They're roll-ons.
What's the old sketch? Armpit or, was it? Oh, God, I forgot.
Oh, yeah, the old ad.
The old, yeah, the comment, the sketch. Pit or aerosol. Oh, what is it? Anyway.
I can't remember.
Anyway, so it's a roll-on.
Mm.
So, and it's orange. And why can't you, is there anything else you can do in that? Can you make some yourself? Can you?
Well, actually, Kieran said just tip it upside down and let it rest. And then I got two more days out of it, which gave me a very big thrill.
Yeah. Celine did that for me the other day. I had some stuff I put in me because my hair is growing so long. I've gone from a non-product guy to a product guy.
Yeah.
Because I haven't had a haircut now for 12 weeks.
Same here. And it's, and you don't really want your partner to cut it, do you really?
No, because my hairdresser gets really angry with me if I do anything to my hair. Like if I just trim it back a bit around the ears or something, she slaps me. Says, don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not your hair to touch. Don't touch it because I make her look stupid because I have a buggered up bit around my ear. But
surely when you go on TV shows, like if you go and have you been paying attention.
I hinted
surely
the other
day. Bit of a trim?
I hinted.
Did you?
Yeah. And I said, what's the deal? You know, what's it? Can you? And they're going, she said, we're really restricted. We can't even do that. But I was looking at Daniel Andrews and Brett Sutton the other day. I'm going, you've had a haircut.
Yeah, they've had haircuts. Yeah.
What's the deal there? How?
Well, I can't say too much, but I'm appearing on a very popular show this Friday that I've been on a lot. Music show, you know, whatever. And they said they're going to cut my hair. So
55, this will be 55.
55
right?
times. It's going to be kicked up a bit, let me tell you.
That's around about the same. How old are you now?
I'm 55.
Oh, that's good. Numerology. So you're going to get a trim.
I'm going to get a trim. But you know, Daryl Summers, even when he left Hey Hey, would still turn up to Channel 9 to get his hair cut off the makeup people. So I think you're in your rights to go to Channel 10. You've had such a history.
Well,
the comedy company, the panel. Have you been paying attention, Russell Coit? Just turn up, you know, when they're filming something, and just
don't worry. I have done
up.
That. I have done that. I've just gone. Could you? Would you? Do you mind? Have you got? And they'll if they don't like you, they go. Oh, I would, but I haven't got my because you have to have the special cutters with them.
Sure.
They just can't be any old pair of scissors. They have to bring their own because they have their own kit that they bring.
Yes, I know.
Specially made. You know, especially set up. They can't just pick up any old pair of scissors. So they go, but then sometimes they'll just go, and it doesn't take much to give you a little bit of love.
I know. And most makeup artists are ex-hairdressers. A lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, this reminded me of a story. You know, Kevin Carlin, the great director.
Yeah.
He's currently probably directed both of us in stuff.
I think he's doing Wentworth.
He does Wentworth.
Yeah.
You know, his daughter, who I've never met, became a makeup artist, and he tells the story that the first time she had to go to the football and do the commentators.
Mm.
So she went up to their box up in the stands and was doing their makeup, and she looked down at the footy field and she said to the commentator, gee, the players look small from up here. And he said, that's the Little League.
Oh,
Now, the other great story about his daughter. So Kevin's a lovely bloke, but he had four teenage daughters. He's got four girls.
He did. He was just swamped girls. In his house. Yep.
Right. Yeah. His house was swamped. Yep. And one day when the girls were in their 20s, he came home. I can't. And Kevin's a big St Kilda supporter, right? St Kilda Football Club. Mm. And he came home, and it was like midnight or something. He walked into his daughter's bedroom. She's sitting on the bed with Fraser Gehrig, I think it was, who's an absolute, at the time was an absolute St Kilda legend. And he just went, "Oh, what are you? Oh, Fraser Gehrig." And he just paused and he goes, "You know, she's got a sister."
Bang.
Bang, Kev. No wonder he's a big
Anyway, in answer to your question, I reckon use the other one. Use the other deodorant. Use your tea tree. Go out to the kitchen, cut an orange in half, and just rub a half an orange up and down your. And also, just smell the orange because you'll get the hit. You'll just smell the orange. You go, oh, I'm okay. You want because you're Pavlov's dog. You are Pavlov's dog. You think you're getting it, and that will the association with the orange. You will then have a good day.
Wow, there we go. You know, I like the idea of just stripping naked and getting the orange on me. On the front porch, just to for all the neighbours to go, wow, he's finally lost it in COVID.
Sam, please play the music because
We don't need that image.
You're not going to have that image in your head. It's not fair for us, for all the COVID sufferers out there.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to the show, and it's Somehow Related, and look, we've been talking about doing a live Zoom show, but I was talking to Courtney, who's talked to Sam, and she's on board. So we'll give you the details soon.
Oh, sure.
I said to Courtney, let's just wait and see where the AFL finals land, because we don't want to do it on the grand final or something like that. Yeah.
That's smart. Yeah.
I just remember doing a gig in Geelong, or we were going to a gig in Geelong on a Friday night, and the guy rang up the day beforehand. He went, you know Geelong are playing tomorrow night, and you're doing a gig in Geelong. Mm. He said, don't come. Yep. There's no point.
it's pointless because.
Yeah.
Well, that's and straight after the grand final is usually a bit of a dead time. Normally people
bit
do
of a
tend
lull.
To.
Yeah, maybe so, we'll do then.
Yeah, maybe around that time. Let's just see what happens.
See.
You know.
Well, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we get our topics.
Yep. Two topics. Who knows how they're related, but they are. And Sam, if you will, please.
Bananas and DNA.
Well, I mean, I love bananas. I think DNA does a great job. DNA, my brother who lives in Switzerland, I'm sure, and he because, you know, he's always bragging about, oh, you know, in Switzerland, we've got the Hadron Collider, the largest underground science. It's like a light tunnel or something, you know, the Hadron Collider. It's a big science facility. And, you know, the Swiss invented, like he said, the Swiss invented cornflakes, he reckons. And
see, I wouldn't be bragging about that. I mean, Colonel.
DNA was an early Swiss thing, I think. But I have to say, I was watching this TV show, some British detective show on the ABC, set in the 60s or the 70s, and it was the first case where they used DNA to catch the killer.
No.
And they tested everyone in this small town. Yeah, because it was near Cambridge, and Cambridge was where they finalized the DNA procedure or whatever. And I said to Kieran, I was watching, going, "Is this bull crap, or they just made this up?" And then I looked it up, and it was true. It was some Cambridge professor boffin types who got together with the police, and they nailed this guy for this murder.
Well, I'm no expert, but I remember reading a book about it in 1995. Flying to London, and it was a book on DNA, and it was a crime they solved. It was 1995, and that was groundbreaking then. I thought it was in the 90s.
Yeah, well, I think it was the 70s, this TV show, and I remember looking it up because I was very critical of it, Glenn. But now,
I'm big on the true crime stuff. And often you'll hear them say, this was, of course, before DNA, you know, the science of DNA was discovered, and so therefore they had to go on physical evidence. DNA.
Have you ever heard Ron Idle speak? He does a Foxtel show.
I've met Ron.
Yeah.
Mm. Lovely guy.
Let me tell you, I did the Big Blokes Lunch in Sale, I think it was, or Bansdale. No, Sale. And, you know, what it is, they do these great lunches in rural Victoria, New South Wales, for prostate cancer.
Yep.
And so I would go and do comedy and host, and they'd get a footballer, But this one, they got Ron to speak, and it was, you could hear a pin drop when he spoke about crime.
He sold all his crimes except for one. Murder.
Well, he gets up and he goes, he talks about his cases. He goes, so we ran around to the house and there was a mother and father murdered in the backyard. Now, I knew straight away that it was someone close to them because they had put, so the murderer had put towels over their faces, because this is very common. When a member of the family murders someone close to them, they cover the face because they're filled with shame. And everyone's like, wow. So I get back up off the stage and I go, thank you, Ron. That was amazing. I think everyone, we've got a bit of a tip there. If you're going to murder someone in your family, don't cover their face. All right? So so I hope there's no serious murders in Sale or Bansale where they...
Yeah, and when they get caught, they'll go, how were you not caught for all those years? Oh, well, Dave O'Neill said to me, you know.
Yeah. That was Ron Idles. It was Ron Idles. Dave just made a joke about it. But anyway, what DNA? Yeah, well, it's always amazing when they get those people. I love it when they catch someone from 30 years ago because of DNA. I love it.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, yeah, when they go back. So many things on Foxtel about where they go back and they get the right guy. It's so good. What's DNA? I think it's like a biochemistry short for. I don't think it stands for diagnostic something. It's a word we wouldn't recognize being.
Well, at least he didn't name it after himself, whoever invented it, the man or woman. Heinrich maneuver. It's not called the Glenn Robbins strain or whatever. Yeah. You know.
The strands, I read somewhere that if you've got your average bit of DNA, the strands go from here to the sun and back again six times or something. I mean, fairly tedious thing to work out, but it's
and we all know what it looks like, don't we? Because they always have that picture in the paper, of that sort of that wiggly line. I don't know what it really is, but I know that everyone has a different DNA, but your parents' DNA is similar to yours,
and we are 99% the same, I think, everyone, and monkeys are 98% the same as us. So,
really?
As Jeff Stilson says, the 1% part is the, you know, throw feces at you and rip the face off the person that's trying to feed them.
It's amazing, really.
Has your father ever got into the family tree or anything like that, Dunny?
Yeah,
Ancestry.com or whatever it's called.
Yeah, we gave him a voucher.
Oh, no.
Dad didn't know his father. So, and the thing about my dad, Kev, and I'll put photos of him on Facebook. I don't know if we've talked about this before, but he's from a very remote part of Western Australia called Bruce Rock.
Oh.
And he does, in his younger photos, look a little bit Aboriginal. So we thought perhaps, what I'm saying, Glenn, is you're on my land. Basically, get off.
I pay respect. I pay off air. I paid respect. Okay, so
you pay respect. But anyway, we thought Kev might possibly have an Aboriginal father because I remember in Scouts
when he went to Vietnam, he was very tanned, wasn't he?
Yes. You've seen the photos. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember in Scouts when a new scout turned up, he said, "Who's the Aboriginal leader?" I said, "That's my dad, Kev."
Well, how come none of you look a bit like that? How come you and Nova haven't got the dark skin?
Hey, you're being racist now. Aboriginal, we don't have to have dark skin, mate. You know, I could be... No, I don't know. He has got very olive skin, Kev. So we don't know. So we did a test, right?
Yeah.
And it just said the usual European, you know. And then one of my mates who does a lot of work with... Aboriginal actors and comedians. He worked on Black Comedy, the TV show. He's one of the producers. He said, yeah, but most DNA testing doesn't have the facility to test for Indigenous DNA anyway.
Oh, okay.
So if you check the fine print of some of these places, they only check for the big ones, you know, like Northern European.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, like, you know, blah, blah. And so, yeah, I mean, we just came back with a lot of English and Irish. Basically,
yeah, that's I know there was a couple of markets I went up to in Queensland where you could walk up and give them your name and they printed the stuff out and you're going, that is bullshit. It's just all the same. English, bit of Scottish, bit of Irish, throw it all in together and you know, and you just go, everyone's happy, stick it on your wall, who cares? My dad did the family tree and he had everyone but one cousin or something that he just couldn't really find. Yeah, and I've got it on a book, in a book, and I must one day I'll go back to. I know another friend of mine's doing his. I think it's like a thing that you do is you come to a period in your life where yes. you want to reflect. I haven't.
It can be like a hobby, a hobby yeah, kind of yeah. thing too.
And Ancestry.com just goes, bring it in, come on in, you know.
I think which is owned by Mormons. Someone told me. Ancestry.com. Really? Yeah, someone told me that. Yeah.
So you can just keep on going and keep on going. I don't know what else we can say, really.
Well, DNA. I mean, you know what I also love is when they catch someone for a crime and their lawyer always says, no, there was a mix-up in the DNA lab. There was a mix-up in the DNA lab. That's not, they got the wrong DNA. You know yeah, that? So yeah. It's just like, you just imagine Keith or whoever running the DNA lab going, all right, well, I'll just put down the murderer, Glenn Robbins' DNA here, and the innocent guy, Dave, over here, and I'll just...
I'm going to go to lunch. Can you
mark
those...
I'm going to go to lunch.
Yeah, mark those balls up for me. Hang on. Which is... Hey, come back. Where's... Oh, no, I think I remember.
Hey, did anyone touch this stuff? Did you Did you touch any of this?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, well, that's...
Doesn't matter.
No, Glenn's definitely the murderer.
Which
put
one?
Him away.
I think it's that one. Yeah. Okay.
The DNA lab. Yeah, it must be strictly controlled. All right, bananas. How good are bananas?
I think it's my number one fruit. If I go to a fruit bowl, I'm looking for the banana. I've got to tell you straight away.
I'm more apple, but banana's second to me.
Yeah, I mean I just out of pure convenience, it comes in a packet. It comes in a you can hold yeah. it. It feels good. You don't have to commit to the full peel. You can hold the bottom and do the classic television monkey peel, or you can go the full peel. You can do a joke with the skin where you put it down, where you throw it on the floor and say, "Watch what happens if I put this just here," and then you can slice it. I mean, is there anything better than
you can dice it? Well, you revealed last week
yeah.
that you have a banana every night with peanut butter on it, a very phallic banana.
I didn't say it was phallic. I left that up to you. I thought it was more like feces with
more like you're at a zoo and a baboon shoved it up there, whatever, and handed it to you, and you've gone.
Because when
you
I look
much.
At it with it's not a good look. I go, this is not. I wouldn't want to see this back on film. Okay, so I'm going to say it's my number one. But having said that, if you go for a fruit salad, and it's chopped up all together, your banana is pretty quick to go brown.
Yes, I know. You got to add the banana at the last minute. But how good is a bit of banana and fruit salad with a passion fruit on it? The best.
Sensational. So, but a banana, everything else, if you put it back in the fridge, will be okay. Your banana's going to go off a bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, it's going to go discoloured.
Yeah. But, I mean, we have banana splits sometimes with the kids, and there is no better combination than banana, ice cream, nuts, and a bit of chocolate or caramel sauce. It is such a good fruit for that.
So, is there any chocolate in there?
Yeah, there's chocolate sauce. Yeah.
And nuts. I'm just picturing. And what sort of, is it not the cream and the cream, is it?
No, we don't have that. But
no, I don't like that.
I add just normal cream, whether it's whipped or just, that the cream actually tops it off. But I absolutely love bananas and I love a banana smoothie. But do you remember, I reckon it was about 10 years ago, because I distinctly remember driving to do radio, early morning radio, and ABC overnights, with the great Trevor Chappell. Great broadcaster. He was taking calls from around Australia about people missing bananas because they were about $3 each at one stage.
Oh, then when we had the floods.
It was floods, I think.
In Queensland? And so, right. Yeah, yeah.
And so bananas went up to about, because I remember going to the fruit shop and getting five bananas, two apples, three mandarins. And the guy's like, that's $25. I'm like, what?
What's going on here?
And people were seriously, because it was too expensive for most people. And so he took all these calls about what people used to love bananas for. There were people practically crying, going, I used to get a banana, put in the oven in L4 with chocolate, I can't do it anymore. It's like, wow.
We may have talked about this before, but I remember outside of Byron Bay, they used to do a banana dipped in chocolate. It was like a caravan on the side of the road, and it was like
people come
from, and there's something where the chocolate goes into the banana and the banana goes into the chocolate. And so a friend of mine said, you're going to love this. I'm going, seriously, it's just a banana and chocolate. And then I had one, I went, oh my God, this is sensational.
And you're very close to the Big Banana too.
Big Banana is Coffs Harbour.
Coffs Harbour. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been to the Big Pineapple, not the Big Banana. I imagine it's quite similar, where you just
It's not that big.
Here's something about a banana.
It's not that big. And let me tell you, I did a gig at Coffs Harbour RSL with Eric Banner so long ago. It was like mid-90s.
Yeah.
And I just said, what are your guys' vibes on the Big Banana? Do you like it? And they all started booing. They didn't like it. Because whenever anyone says to them, whenever they say to anyone, I'm from Coffs Harbour, immediately people say the Big Banana. So it just gives them the shits. Mm. And I said, what say we go up there now and set it on fire? And they all cheered, I reckon. I reckon we could have gone up there and started a fire, because I think it was made out of wood. It was probably fiberglass, actually. But it's not that big. It's a bit disappointing, the Big Banana.
It's a bit rude to call it big, because it's not big.
It's not that big.
I'll tell you a bit of a... Here's a thing. If you peel a banana from the bottom, apparently... Mm. The stringy bits that can be a bit annoying. If you peel from the bottom, you don't get the stringy bits. I think the stringy bits go off with the skin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's worth trying. So if you come from the top where it goes crack at the top and you pull down, I think you'll get the strings being revealed. But if you go from the other way, I think the strings will stay in the skin and you'll have no skin problem. It's a bit like when you peel a prawn. And if you peel it the right way, you'll get the poo tube to come off at the same time. Some people are really good at that. I'm not very good at that.
No, peeling prawns. What about your vibes on the ripeness of a banana? Will you prefer them underripe or overripe?
Apparently, the greener the banana, the better they are for you. More down the other end of the scale, they're not as good for you. But I would obviously I don't want them to be brown. But I would probably go down to the ripened end of town. But see, they can go off pretty quick, can't they? You're looking at it in the fruit salad, and you're looking at it, and the banana is saying, "Please eat me." You go, "Mate, I think your time is gone. I think you're done. I think you've passed your peak." And I add a sympathy. And Selena always says, "Leave it. I'll make it into banana bread," because apparently your overripe makes a very good banana bread.
Oh, we do that here. Yeah, absolutely, we do that. Yeah. But, you know, I remember Hughie saying his dad used to call them honey bananas. That's a lovely honey banana when it would get so brown.
Oh, really?
It's called a honey banana. They're really overripe.
Because what's the one that the supermarket called a lady finger?
Yeah, I think they're just small ones, aren't they?
Oh, they're not. I don't like them.
No, I don't like them.
No. What is it? So a banana is what? It's a berry, isn't it?
Oh, it's technically a berry. That's right. Very good. Because I've asked that in trivia before. And peanut's a legume. And strawberries are from a poisonous plant, a poisonous strain or something like that. There's always some.
Here's something else.
Fact.
Full of potassium. Good for your heart.
Yeah.
And if you apparently, if you get the skin and rub it on your warts.
Yes. Yeah, I've heard this.
You rub it on your warts every day for 2 weeks. And then your wart drops off. I don't think it's...
Does that include genital warts? Because I'm already out the front with my orange. What do I got to go to the whole fruit bowl?
Because I can just see you in the bathroom with your genital warts with a banana skin. What are you doing in there? Just give me a second, all right?
Can you bring in the fruit bowl?
Dad was rubbing a banana skin on his penis, Mum.
And now he's got avocado in his hair. Yeah, I'm using the whole fruit bowl.
It would be a big banana, Dave. That's all I'll say. Yeah, if you
Lady finger. Let's be honest, lady finger.
This is interesting. Now, who was I reading about? I was reading about on riders, what different people have on their riders.
Yeah.
You know what Adele's number one thing is?
Bananas.
If you had a rider, what would you have on it? What would you be in your rider? I know what I do. I reckon you go. You go first.
You tell me. What would you have? I'd have risotto or
no? I don't want. Isn't it just a quick snack? It's a quick snack, isn't it?
Snacks.
I'd have some water. I'd have some sparkling chilled mineral water.
Boring.
I'd have a coffee machine, and I'd have some sandwiches, fresh bread, cut into quarters. Yeah. Yep, and I would have some small cakes. Something in the lemon department, and definitely some banana bread and some fresh bananas.
You know, and so people would say, are these comedians or are they like CWA meeting here tonight? What's happening here?
Well, what would you have, Mr. Rock and Roll, Mr. Spicks and Specs 55 times? What would you have? Bring it on. What would you have?
Soon to increase. The numbers are getting up there. I'd have like obviously Diet Coke. I'd have some beer for, I might have one beer for guests.
yep.
or whatever, and then I'd have potato chips. So I'd have plain potato chips
yep.
and some flavoured potato chips, salt and vinegar. Then I'd have some M&Ms and I think a bowl of party mix lollies and... Yeah, maybe a birthday cake.
So when we do the when we do this big somehow related at the Opera House, and they go, hey, come backstage, you'd have your own separate dressing room, right? And we'd have our own separate drop riders. I got to be honest, I reckon you're going to get more people back to your dressing room.
Yeah, of course,
than you're gonna get to my dressing room. Yeah, mine. I've got some sandwiches that have gone a bit dry. You've got the M&Ms and you've got the chips and you've got the diet cake. Yeah.
I got a party room. You people would go, what is Judy Dench doing a show here tonight? What's this room here? Like, is Lady Dench doing a show?
Okay, you win. You got the best ride. Anyway, so I think bananas would be a banana before I go on stage would be something desirable. Anyway, and they help you sleep too, I think. I think bananas are good for sleeping.
I think they block you up a bit, though, don't they? I think oranges help you go to the toilet and bananas block you up a bit.
What do you mean by block you up?
Just constipate you a little bit. I don't know.
How are you having the bananas?
Yes.
Sorry.
That's part of my fruit procedure out the front porch.
That's a dad joke.
What about the bananas in pyjamas? Because they're huge.
That would have been around about the time your kids were growing up.
Yeah, bananas in pajamas.
We've got a grandson around now, and those friggin' songs,
Shark,
Baby Shark. That once I hear Baby Shark, I sing it for the next 3 hours. Bananas in pajamas is the same. You just don't get it stuck in your head; it kills you.
Well, you know, we were actually there for the transition because they used to be like actors; they were dancers inside those costumes, and they were live action filmed. With actors and people in, you know, costumes.
And then
they just went to animation and they interviewed one of the guys who'd been B1 for like 10 years and he was really bitter in the paper.
Because he'd lost his gig.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I was the banana. He was saying, I was the banana. I was the essence of bananas and then they just got rid of me. You know, like, sad.
Well, that's
any money he puts a costume on occasionally. Just to
get it a bit exciting on Saturday nights for the lovely... Lovely lady.
Well, I've worn a banana costume before. I'd forgotten about this, but we had a campaign on radio to bring back the Barney banana ice cream. And there's a photo of me holding a Barney banana in a banana costume. Yeah,
it was pretty good, the Barney banana. There was Paddle Pop.
Paddle Pop banana, but there was also Barney banana. Yeah.
Barney banana was real fruit. Long, looked like a choc wedge, didn't it?
Yes.
Barney banana. Yeah. Yep. But no chocolate on the outside. And how did you go? Did you bring it back?
Yeah, it came back for a little bit. It came back. Mm. It was the most, because you know, you come with these ideas on radio just for something to talk about. And we went out to, I think it was Nestle or Peter's the factory, and we met the people. And the guy was like a French executive. They were all international. They were based in Mulgrave in the outer suburbs of Melbourne. But it was like an international company, and he's like a, they don't understand his passion for the bunny banana. We're like, mate, it's an Australian icon. You got to bring it back. And then he just rang up and said, yeah, we're bringing it back for a while. And so they had it in, but they overpriced it. I was so proud when I walked into the server and I saw the Barney bananas. I said to the guy behind the counter, how's the Barney banana sales? He goes, nah, not good, mate. I go, why not? He goes, they're charging too much. He goes, it's $2.20. That's like $1.50 ice cream. What are they doing? I'm like, what are they doing? He goes, I don't know why they brought it back. I'm like, yeah, I don't know either. Anyway. So, yeah, I think you can still get them in packs, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Anyway.
Barney, I reckon we should bring out a somehow related ice cream.
Oh, what flavour would it be?
Well, it has like to be...
Like a twin ice cream, yeah.
Yeah, it's two things that you wouldn't think that would go together on an ice cream, but they do.
Yeah.
Like peanut butter and chocolate, or peanut butter and banana or something in an ice cream. And one on one side. Oh, that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, yeah, like a two-in-one ice cream.
And yeah, two-in-one.
My side would be larger than your side. mine would be orange.
Yeah.
Mine would be orange.
Or
some weird thing like oat milk or something healthy. And so kids would just get it, snap your side off, throw it in the bin, and then... Mum, can I get a Dave and Glenn? I just want the Dave. Just chuck the... You know what would be good for parents? Because the parents can have the Glenn The kids can have the Dave bit.
Well, see, the banana and the oat works well because the banana, which you say blocks you up, with the oat, it would free you up. So one will cancel out the other. But banana oat ice cream would be – that's we're ticking both boxes there. Put it in a bit of chocolate and throw some of your crushed nuts on the side.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Jesus, that is – oh, God.
Love ice cream.
Okay.
Should we have a crack? We should have some thinking music.
Thinking music first. But we could have the – bananas in
your pajamas. No, I don't play that.
There was a scene in Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I reckon we may have played it before, but Larry goes to an ice cream shop and the woman in front of him is being really annoying because she's trying every
all the samples
and he is making comment behind. And if I remember rightly, she has banana or she chooses banana or Larry passes comment on banana. So, Sam, if you can find that scene from Curb Your Enthusiasm, that would be nice.
These people that come here, they get 10 samples, you know? And it's not right for the woman working back there. She's got better things to do than just scooping out samples for them.
They're all...
Oh, can I try that tiramisu?
That's good. That's a good one. That's a good one. Get that. Get that.
I think I will.
Yeah, get that.
Thank you.
Get that.
And I think I'd like to try the banana, please.
Banana? Whoa. It might taste like, let me guess, a banana?
And some chocolate.
I mean, this is really ridiculous. This is so rude.
Just the plain chocolate.
You know, you're like a sample abuser. That's what you are.
What's the matter with you?
You're abusing your sampling privileges.
One sample,
two samples the most. You can't just go on sample after sample.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
You know what? I'm just going to have the plain vanilla, please. Thank you.
Oh, a decision's been made. Oh, we got vanilla. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Vanilla. She winds up with vanilla. You got to be kidding me. That was the vanilla.
Oh, very funny.
Oh, yes. Banana. Oh.
Oh, yeah. What does that taste like? I like the bit right at the end when Larry goes, vanilla, what's that like? So he's sort of questioning it himself at the end. Vanilla, what's your vanilla like? I love it. Oh, you went with vanilla. Oh, yeah. And of course, for people that haven't seen it, he has to go to his next appointment is at this private school where he's trying to get in his stepchildren. The blacks, because he's.
Oh, is that? Yeah, oh, I don't remember.
And
the
she's the vice principal. She's sitting there.
Oh.
And so he has to suck up to her because he's just abused her in an ice cream shop. Yeah, I remember. That was a great show. All right, so do you want to have a guess? I'll have a guess.
You go.
I think bananas have their own DNA. Maybe every banana's different. Yeah, that's it. I've got no other guess. I can't think of. I don't know. What do you reckon?
I think bananas have DNA similar to animals.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Really?
Like, they're alive, and I reckon the DNA, what do you call it? The
strain?
Genetic code? It's a code.
It's a code.
The roadmap in there is somehow like human.
All right, well, Sam, what is the answer?
Genetically, bananas are more than 60% identical to humans. Many of the housekeeping genes that are necessary for basic cellular functions, such as for replicating DNA or controlling the cell's cycle, and are shared between many plants, including bananas and animals.
Oh, wow, there we go. Well,
so
you sort of got it right.
That's incredible.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
What? Bananas are the same as... Are we from bananas?
So hang on. So look, a crime guy could come in and go, okay, we've done the DNA and we know that it's either...
A banana.
a white male or it's a bunch of ladyfingers, who've done the crime. So that's bizarre. I mean,
odd.
It seems like it's round half. So there's a lot going on. So the difference between a human and a monkey is 1%. So
therefore,
if you knock off 40% off a banana, you knock 40% off a human, you're as smart as a banana.
Is your bottom half the banana bit? I think it might be for men.
That's incredible, really. I mean, And so everything, I would imagine, has the DNA, does it?
Yeah, must. I don't know.
Well, for every bit of fruit, but it's weird, isn't it?
It's odd. It's very odd. But we well, know, next, that's a good thing about this podcast. We learn stuff. We learn stuff.
So next time, and this is you're never going to get this out of your head. Next time you're eating a banana, you're going to be thinking about 60% DNA of a human. So if it's probably got feelings, it's probably got emotions, it's probably got a sense of humor, it's probably got a whole lot of things going in. And what are you doing? You're chopping it up and you're putting it on your cereal. Or having said that, it's very good.
Ooh, on cornflakes, Weet-Bix, very good.
You know what? I was just thinking. You know when they sacked B1 and B2?
Yeah.
Do you reckon they did them together, or do you reckon they called in? Do you reckon they called B1 in first? Okay, they're both sitting in at the ABC, right, in the waiting room. They go, B1's sitting there. Hey, B1. Hey, B2. What's happening? And what's this about? I don't know. We'll see. Okay, come in. Just one at a time. Which one's one? Oh, I'm one. Okay, you're in first. Okay. We'll let you go.
Do you reckon the guy did a couple of jokes like we're giving you the chop? You know? You two can split now.
Yeah. You're past your best. You're turning a bit brown. Yeah.
Jokes aside, guys.
Seriously. Yeah.
What about the zucchinis and bikinis? They're gone too. Don't worry about them.
Okay. Well, that's one done. Anybody else? Oh, we've got to do two. I'm going to do two as well. Okay. Two, you come in. What's this all about? And then the one's there crying, you know. He's all sort of bent forward and, you know, just thrown out on the old, you know.
On the rubbish heap.
Yep, on the rubbish heap with all the old other bits of fruit. You know who else probably was out there? You know, what's his, Mr. Potato Head was out there.
Mr. Potato Head. Yeah. They said, what do we do now? The ABC said, well, we're very ecological here. We've got a compost bin over there. Just lying that for a bit.